भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानाधिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः This is Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord, and today we're on text 51. The Lord is replying to the wonderful prayers offered by Chitraketu Maharaj. And he says, Aham vai sarva bhutani, bhutatma bhuta bhavanaha, शब्द ब्रह्म परम ब्रह्म ममोभे शाश्वती तनु अहम वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूत भावनः शब्द ब्रह्म परम ब्रह्म ममोभे शाश्वती तनु अहं वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावनः शब्दब्रह्म परं ब्रह्म ममोभे शाश्वती तनु अहं वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावनः शब्दब्रह्म परं ब्रह्म ममोभे शाश्वती तनु अहं वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावनः शब्द ब्रह्म परं ब्रह्म ममोभे शाश्वती तनु लेडीज अहं वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावनः शब्द ब्रह्म परं ब्रह्म ममोभे शाश्वती तनु अहं वै सर्वभूतानि भूतात्मा भूतभावनः शब्दब्रह्म परं ब्रह्म ममोभे शाश्वती तनु अहं आय वै इन्डीड् सर्वभूतानि Expanded in different forms of living entities. Bhuta Atma, the super soul of all living entities, the supreme director and enjoyer of them. Bhuta Bhavanaha, the cause for the manifestation of all living entities. Shabda Brahma, the transcendental sound vibration, the Hare Krishna mantra, Param Brahma, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Mama, my. Ubhe, both. Namely, the form of sound and the form of spiritual identity. Shashwati, eternal. Tanu, two bodies. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the Supersoul of all living beings, who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and the Hare Krishna Hare Rama, and I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. Kindly repeat. All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the Supersoul of all living beings, who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and Hare Krishna Hare Rama, and I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. Purport by His Divine Grace. The science of devotional service has been instructed by Narad and Angira to Chitraketu. Now, because of Chitraketu's devotional service, he has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing devotional service, one advances step by step. And when one is on the platform of love of Godhead, Prema Pum Artho Mahan, he sees the Supreme Lord at every moment. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when one engages in devotional service 24 hours a day, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master, his devotional service becomes more and more pleasing. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is within the core of everyone's heart, speaks to the devotee, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Chitraketu Maharaj was first instructed by his gurus, Angira and Narad, and now, having followed their instructions, he has come to the stage of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. Therefore, the Lord is now instructing him in the essence of knowledge. The essence of knowledge is that there are two kinds of vastu, or substances. One is real, and the other, being illusory or temporary, is sometimes called non-factual. One must consider these two kinds of existence. The real tattva, or truth, consists of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. Varanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. The absolute truth exists eternally in three features. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan combined are the substance. The categories of emanations from the non-substance are two: activities and forbidden activities, karma and vikarma. Karma refers to the pious life or material activities performed during the day and the mental activities of dreams at night. These are more or less desired activities. Vikarma, however, refers to illusory activities, which are sometimes like the will-o'-the-wisp. Which are something like the will-o'-the-wisp. These are activities that have no meaning. For example, modern scientists imagine that life can be produced from chemical combinations. And they are very busy trying to prove this in laboratories throughout the world. Although no one in history has been able to produce the substance of life from material combinations. Such activities are called vikarma. All material activities are actually illusory, and progress in illusion is simply a waste of time. These illusory activities are called akarya, and one must learn of them from the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 17, karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanah, akarmanas cha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. One must learn of these directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who as Ananta is instructing King Chitraketu because of the advanced stage of devotional service he achieved by following the instructions of Narad and Angira. Herein it is said, Aham vai sarva bhutani. The Lord is everything, sarva bhutani, including the living entity and the material or physical elements. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, texts 4 and 5, Pumir apo analo vayu kham mano buddhir evacha ahankara ityam me bhinna prakritir ashtatha apareyam itas tuanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together these eight comprise my separated material energies. Besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which consists of the living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The living entity tries to lord it over the material or physical elements, but both the physical elements and the spiritual spark are energies emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says, Aham vai sarva bhutani, I'm everything. Just as heat and light emanate from fire, these two energies, the physical elements and the living entities, emanate from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord says, Aham vai sarva bhutani, I expand the physical and spiritual categories. Again, the Lord, as Supersoul, guides the living entities who are conditioned by the physical atmosphere. Therefore, he's called Bhutatma, Bhutabhavanaha. He gives the living entity the intelligence with which to improve his position so that he may return home back to Godhead. Or, if he does not want to go back to Godhead, the Lord gives him the intelligence with which to improve his material position. This is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishto matta smritir gyanam apohanam cha. I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. From within, the Lord gives the living being the intelligence with which to work. Therefore, the previous verse said that after the Supreme Personality of Godhead endeavors, our endeavors begin. We cannot independently endeavor or act upon anything. Therefore, the Lord is Bhuta Bhavana. Another specific feature of the knowledge given in this verse is that Shabda Brahma is also a form of the Supreme Lord. In his eternal, blissful form, Lord Krishna is accepted by Arjuna as Param Brahma. A living entity in this conditioned stage accepts something as illusory I'm sorry, a living entity in the conditioned stage accepts something illusory as substantial. This is called maya, or avidya, ignorance. Therefore, according to the Vedic knowledge, one must become a devotee, and one must then distinguish between avidya and vidya, which are elaborately explained in the Isha Upanishad. When one is actually on the platform of vidya, he can personally understand the personality of Godhead in his forms like those of Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, and Sankarsana. The Vedic knowledge is described as the breathing of the Supreme Lord, and activities begin on the basis of Vedic knowledge. Therefore, the Lord says that when he endeavors or breathes, the material universes come into existence, and various activities gradually develop. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava sarva vedesha, I am the syllable Om in all the Vedic mantras. Vedic knowledge begins with the vibration of the transcendental sound Pranava, Omkar. The same transcendental sound is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Abhinnatvan nama naminoho. There is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. Om agnana timirantasya nananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri gurave nama. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripatamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindhubhya ivacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo nama. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Aham vai sarva bhutani bhutatma bhuta bhavanaha shabda brahma param brahma mamobhe shashwiti tanu. All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the supersoul of all living beings, who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and the Hare Krishna Hare Rama, and I am the supreme absolute truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. So that's quite a purport from Srila Prabhupada. He makes a number of points here, at least four or five major points. The first is that we are reminded here that how did Chitraketu Maharaj get to where he is today? He is standing in front of the Supreme Lord who has decided to personally give him instructions. Swayam Upadishati, Sridhar Swami says. He's personally giving him instructions, more confidential instructions in transcendental knowledge. So he got to this position because he followed the instructions of his spiritual masters. He had two spiritual masters, as we know, Narad Muni and Angira Muni. Both of them enlightened him. So he was instructed by his gurus, and having followed their instructions, he has come to the stage of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. Therefore, the Lord is now instructing him in the essence of knowledge. Now, in the next paragraph, Srila Prabhupada begins to unpack what is the essence of knowledge. His purport here is based largely on that of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who points out that regarding this word vastu here, vastu means a thing, anything. Anything is called vastu. So he says there's two kinds of vastus, things that really exist. One is vastava vastu. Those who speak Hindi know vastavma, you say, in fact, something that really exists. So the actual truth, the actual thing, that's called vastava vastu. Just like we hear in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam. This thing that the Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching is the real thing. It's the vastava vastu. And that vastava vastu consists of four items. Srila Prabhupada lists three of them here in his purport. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it means the Brahman, the Paramatma, and Bhagavan, as well as Parikaras, the Lord's associates or servants. That is called Vastava Vastu, the real thing. Then there's Avastava Vastu, something which is in fact a thing, but it's not Vastava, not really a thing. Interesting hair splitting here. And he says that means Mayak Prapancha Jata things, things that are more born out of this illusory world of Maya. In other words, temporary things. They do exist. We don't say it's false. That's substantial. So that's but it's Avastava Vastu. Because it's temporary, it can't really be considered on the same platform as the eternal things, the Lord and his devotees in particular. So that's Vastu. And then there's Avastu, things that really are not actually things at all. And there are two categories there as well, he says. One of them is Karya, and the other one is Akarya. You know, those who know Sanskrit or other languages, they know. Karya means something that you can do, or something that can be done, something that is to be done. And Akarya is the opposite of that. So Karya Avastu, things that don't really exist but can be done nonetheless, what might that be? He says, these are dreams, for example, or Indrajala. Anybody know what an Indrajala is? The net of Indra? Means magic. They do exist. It's undeniable. Just like dreams, Srila Prabhupada gives the example. A person has a terrible nightmare that he's being eaten by a tiger, and he wakes up sweating. He may be breathing fast. He's experiencing something. But it doesn't have any tangible existence. And then there's Akarya Avastu, things that don't exist at all. And such things include, you know, kapushpa, sky flowers, or shashashringa, the horns of a rabbit. These are the favorite examples in Sanskrit literature. They don't exist at all. These are just imaginary things. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he directs our attention back to chapter 15, text number 24, where this was actually discussed by himself at some length in a purport there. He says, sorry, 1 minute. These visible objects like wife, children, and property are like dreams and mental concoctions. They're actually, what we see has no permanent existence. It's sometimes seen and sometimes not. Only because of our past actions do we create such mental concoctions, and because of these concoctions we perform further activities. So Prabhupada writes here in his purport, everything material is like a dream because it actually has no permanent existence. At night one dreams of tigers and snakes, and while dreaming he actually sees them. But as soon as the dream is broken, they no longer exist. Similarly, the material world is a creation of our mental concoctions. We have come into this material world to enjoy material resources, and by mental concoction we discover many, many objects of enjoyment because our minds are absorbed in material things. This is why we receive various bodies. According to our mental concoctions, we work in various ways, desiring various achievements, and by nature and the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, karmana daivanetrena, we get the advantages we desire. Thus, we become more and more involved with material concoctions. This is the reason for our suffering in this material world. By one kind of activity, we create another, and they are all products of our mental concoctions. So Srila Prabhupada has categorized things a little differently in his purport. Here he calls them karma and vikarma. He says those things which are karyam, those things which can actually be done, are mainly, say, for example, pious activity, activity that is sanctioned in the Vedic literatures, or activity that is instructed, enjoined in the Vedic literatures. He classifies that in this Avastu category, and within the Avastu category, he considers it to be of the same importance as dreams and magic, having no real substantial value. On the other hand, he says the other option, and the more probable option in modern society, is vikarma, that one acts similarly in order to fulfill his desires, but he acts in complete, flagrantly, he acts in disobedience of the scriptural injunctions without any care for the future. That's called vikarma. And that's no better than a rabbit's horns or a castle in the sky or a flower in the sky. They say different things. And Prabhupada gives the example here. Just like modern scientists imagine, remember we defined this avastu akaryam as things that are only imagined. So Prabhupada says the scientists imagine that life can be produced from chemical combinations, and they're very busy trying to prove this in laboratories throughout the world. But although no one in history has been able to produce the substance of life from material combinations, such activities are called vikarma. So all material activities, they're all illusory. They're all really insubstantial. That's the point. But Krishna and his activities are not within that category. Krishna is the vastava vastu, the thing which really exists in fact. Now, that brings us to the next point that Prabhupada makes. Aham vai sarva bhutani. Anyone who knows Sanskrit can see immediately. What does this mean? A literal translation. I am indeed all beings. So that's something that's very easy to misunderstand. Therefore, the acharyas have given us some comments on this as well. Here he's not talking about the vastava vastu, as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. All things. Well, let's back up for a minute. Let's look at the word bhuta to begin with. Anybody know what does bhuta mean? It's a broad term with many meanings, actually. Huh? Elements, yeah, that's material elements is another kind of bhuta. Bhuta really means, literally, it means something which is created, something which has come into being. Bhu means to exist. Bhuta is a past passive participle, which means it has been existed. It has been created. So the living beings, they're, you can say they're creations of the Lord. Certainly the material elements are creations of the Lord. They're all bhutas. A nice word we have in German, anybody speaks German? Geist. Right, the word means both things that are spiritual and things that are mental or metaphysical as well. So bhuta is a little bit like that. Therefore, we have in modern Indian languages, the word bhut means a ghost, for example. Even in Catholicism, we hear about holy ghosts, right? And different kinds of ghosts, I suppose. But this is bhuta. Bhuta means the creations of the Lord or the beings. Maybe it's a better way to translate it. Because spiritual living entities, as we know, they really can't be created, literally. They exist eternally. So, the Lord is everything, sarva bhutani. But that's not to say that everything is the vastava vastu. That is to say, not everything is Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, especially. And so the acharyas point out that what he's referring to here is something else, the bhoktri bhogya atmaka vishva, this material creation or any creation of the Lord, which consists of things that are enjoyed and things that are those that are the enjoyers. Krishna is the source of all of them. He has created all of them. And as Prabhupada nicely points out in his purport here, quoting Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says as much himself, he is the creator of the lower energy and the higher energy. They're called para and apara in the Upanishads. They're also called by Ramanujacharya, we can say chit and achit, conscious and unconscious, the different terms we have for them. So these are the ideas. So there's a few things that we can consider from this. One is that although the Lord is all living beings, that doesn't mean that all living beings are the Lord, because he has separated energies. He has different categories of energies. Or as Ramanuja says, he has Vishishta, Advaita. There's a oneness going on here, but it's not an absolute oneness. We also have to consider the different categories. So that's the first point. And then the second thing is that he is the super soul of all beings. That's called Bhutatma. Whoever is a Bhuta or whatever is a Bhuta, he's the Atma within that thing. All of us have this Paramatma is accompanying us within the heart. As conditioned, certainly we're called Jiva Bhuta. We're created here and now as Jivas. And the Lord is within our hearts. He's called the Paramatma. He's watching us. He's accompanying us. Upadrishtanu mantacha antaryami, the inner witness. So he's actually, because he's the super soul of all living beings, therefore he's, again, he's Vastava Vastu. He's the real thing, the spiritual entity. And then the final point here is that Shabda, in the last line here, we have, last half of the verse, we have Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mama Ubhe Shashwati Tanu. Krishna says, these two are also my forms. From Sridhar Swami, he makes the point here that someone might get the doubt that Shabda is the one who enlightens and Param Brahma is the cause of all that enlightenment. But, and Krishna, in effect, Krishna agrees. He says, yes, but they're both eternal forms. And this is what Prabhupada has said maybe the most clearly in his purport. Another specific feature of the knowledge given in this verse is that Shabda Brahma is also a form of the Supreme Lord. Just because it's impersonal doesn't necessarily mean that it's not eternal. So Krishna is giving some room here for those who can only appreciate him in that impersonal or all-pervading manifestation. And then finally, Srila Prabhupada says on the basis, I think, of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comments on yesterday's verse. It's interesting. I'll just go back a minute here. Yesterday we heard, Yan nararangiro bhyam te vyahratam me anushasanam sam siddhosi taya rajan vidyaya darshanat cha me. He says, O King, the result of your having accepted the instructions from the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely perfect and completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you're now educated, you've seen me face to face, therefore you're now perfect. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the Anushasana mentioned here, Anushasana means order or command or instruction. He says that he qualifies. What kind of instruction was that? He says that was instruction in the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. In other words, Bhagavad Bhajan, worship of the Supreme Lord. And he became perfect, Vidyaya. Vidyaya, we know from earlier passages in this narration, Vidya also means mantra. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically says that Vidyaya here means by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or he says at least the Maha Mantra. And that Darshanat has come about as a result of those things. He's chanting and he's hearing about Krishna by the grace of the spiritual master and through the Maha Mantra. So this is the opportunity that we have as well by the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada. And he reminds us the last thing that he says here in concluding his purport, is that the same transcendental sound as Omkar is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is also the same Vastava Vastu, the real thing. This is Bhagavan himself. Abhinatvan Nama Naminoho. There's no difference between the holy name of Krishna and Lord Krishna himself. As we know from Rupa Goswami, another couple of terms he uses to describe these, Vachyam and Vachikam, that thing which is named and that thing which is the designation. The name and the person who is so named, they're one and the same thing. Because both of them are Vastava Vastu. They're on the transcendental platform. Both of them are Bhagavan. So this is Shabda Brahma and Param Brahmas, in case anyone had any doubt that those things are separate or that they're even perhaps lesser than Bhagavan, they're not lesser than Bhagavan. Neither are they separate from each other. Shabda Brahma is Param Brahma. And by chanting this Maha Mantra very carefully, we can realize the absolute truth. Arjuna also appreciated Krishna as Param Brahma. in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada points out. Now in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a nice verse comes to mind. It's actually quoted throughout Srila Prabhupada's books. One devotee named Raghupati Upadhyaya, when Vallabha Bhakta was staying at Arayal near Prayag, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to visit him, they also received a third visitor in the form of this Brahmana from northern Bihar area. And he walked in and he paid his obeisances, and instantly Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya asked him, please begin reciting Krishna Katha. And so he did. The first thing he described was a verse that he himself had written. He said, Shrutim apare smritam itare bharatamanye bhajandu bhavabhitaha ahamehanandam vande yasyalinde param brahma. He said, some people are very staunch followers of the Shruti only. We find this sometimes, even in India. Arya Samaj in North India, these people, they only accept the Vedas. They don't even accept the Puranas as authoritative. Or in South India, you have very orthodox Mayavadis and others who also look askance on Smriti literature. They only accept the Shruti. So some people do that, he recognizes. And he says, on the other hand, some people are Smarthas. Smartha means he very strictly follows what the Smriti says to the letter. He's a legalist approach to spiritual life. So those people are also there. And others, they're absorbed in Mahabharata because they fear material existence. He says, let them all do what they want to do, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to worship Nanda Maharaj because in his courtyard, that Param Brahma is crawling around and playing. So this is the conclusion of bhakti. We have access to the Vastava Vastu, the Supreme Absolute Truth in personal form, the personality of Godhead. And that access is coming through the grace of the spiritual masters who teach us how to offenselessly chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Hare Krishna mantra is the same thing as the Shabda Brahma, it's the same thing as the Param Brahma, and it's the same thing that was being taught to King Chitraketu by Narad Muni, who is also our original guru. In our line, if you trace back the parampara far enough, you will find Narad Muni is there. So the same thing is coming since time immemorial, and by the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada, we have an opportunity to take full advantage of it. We'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? If we have a microphone.
Thanks for the very enlightening class, Prabhu. I was just curious, would you kind of draw that distinction between a substantial, vidya, or the thing?
Vastu.
Vastu. And a non-substantial as being a thing which contains the super soul? I mean, would a figment of the imagination, a dream, would that be devoid of super soul?
Repeat your question.
You said the Paramatma permeates all things, all substantial things. So okay. would something that was insubstantial, would that be devoid of supersoul?
Maybe. Don't lose sleep over it. Any other questions, Shyamapriya?
We often hear the glories of the Maha Mantra. Would you say something about the glories of the Brahma Gayatri?
Brahma Gayatri. Brahma Gayatri, they say, is a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually, or the Srimad Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Brahma Gayatri. You can see it either way. So all of the meaning in the Srimad Bhagavatam has to be contained within the Brahma Gayatri. Brahma Gayatri, we don't usually recite in public. It's confidential, considered to be. But by chanting the Brahma Gayatri, we gain access, or not access, but we get facility in chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is why we take second initiation and worship the deity. And this is Pancharatrik Diksha in our line. And by chanting the Brahma Gayatri and meditating on the spiritual reality that's described there, then we gain access into the spiritual platform, Brahma Bhuta. We know from Bhagavad Gita that real bhakti, we might say Vastava bhakti, it begins from the platform of liberation, in which we realize that we're not our bodies, and we understand the nature of spirit. We identify with spirit only. We only perceive spirit. That's called Brahmabhuta realization. And devotional service is actually enacted on that platform. There's a nice quote here from Prabhupada's purport. He says, when one is actually on the platform of vidya, he can personally understand the personality of Godhead in his forms such as Rama, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, and Sankarsana. So vidya, knowledge, that means awareness. Awareness is the perfection of sattva-guna. It's the natural quality and the result of cultivation of sattva-guna. And pure awareness, or pure sattva-guna, is the liberated state known as Brahma-bhuta. So until we come to this platform of realizing spirit and identifying exclusively with spirit, then we really can't enter into Vastava Bhakti. We really can't understand the Vastava Vastu, the Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, because they're all on that transcendental platform. The Brahma Gayatri allows us to do that if we chant carefully under the direction of bona fide spiritual masters, Prabhupada says here. That's general. Is that okay? One more.
So if Krishna is enjoyer, he can enjoy everywhere in the spiritual world and in material world. I don't talk about bhakti yoga. Just can just non-devotees satisfy Krishna by their material activities or their material nature if they are not devotee?
So your question is?
My question is, can karmi, just non-devotees, satisfy Krishna, to please Krishna by their activities, material activities, or their nature, material nature? Can they satisfy Krishna?
Can non-devotees satisfy Krishna by their material activities?
Or their nature.
Or their natures. Well, if we look at the Narad Bhakti Sutra, we find there that Narad Muni explains that the active ingredients, so to speak, of either karma or jnana or yoga also, is the degree to which it's permeated by bhakti. And if we're talking about karmis in the sense that Prabhupada distinguished karmis in this purport, as those who perform pious activities, then at least in the sense that they are regulating their desires with deference to the Vedic literature and the authority of the injunctions therein, then to that degree they can be satisfying Krishna. In other words, it's mixed with a very slight degree of bhakti. Very slight. We don't want to encourage too much people to become karmis. Otherwise, ordinarily, this is not something that is advisable, because these activities are just illusory. How can we please Krishna by what we're dreaming? Better to do something in fact. Okay? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.